to say bye-bye. So long, bye-bye. So long, bye-bye. So long, so long. Goodbye to my pain. Goodbye to my sorrow. Goodbye, fear. You ain't welcome here. Bye-bye, bye-bye.
Amen. Look at your name and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Hello. Amen. No bye-bye. No bye-bye yet. Amen. Some of y'all thought that was the benediction. Man. No, not yet. Won't be long, though. It's coming. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we're so thankful again for this preaching time. And certainly, God, we've come. All things we've done today and since we started out early has led up to this moment. We are still anxious to hear what you are saying to the church. We've clapped our hands. We have smiled and encouraged each other. We have wished each other well. We've heard of weeks journey and heard of trial and tribulation from our brothers and sisters. We've heard of celebratory things. We've smiled and we've laughed. Now, Lord, we have come again to preaching. Is there a word from the Lord we would ask? And certainly, God, we know that you will reply in the affirmative. And so, God, steady us. Peace, quiet. Let things that disturbed us give us a break now. Let pain subside for a little while, and frustrations and heartaches. Just hold on, just give us a moment that we might hear from our God. Let us forget the former things and focus on you. The writer declared, I will look to the hills which cometh my help, knowing that my help comes from the Lord. He made heaven and earth and did everything good. I want to look to the hills. Oh, God, speak to me. Can't speak for my neighbor. Speak for me. So I want you to talk to me. And God, when you talk to me, I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to do some things different. I'm not going to rebel. I'm going to receive it. And I'm going to make necessary change in my life. I'm going to do it because you're going to equip me to do it. I don't have to do it by myself. I don't have to wing it. I can trust you with my life. And Lord, forgive me of my sins and have mercy, I pray. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory forever. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen. And amen. Come on, bless God by putting your hands together. A praise offering to God. Come on, make it your best praise. Amen. Come on, don't let nobody out praise you. Don't let no rocks cry out for you. Hallelujah. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above. Come on, put everything down and praise Him. Ah, oh, God bless you. God bless you. You sound like you're working on something. Amen. Praise Him like you're trying to get out of trouble. Praise Him like you want your health back. Praise Him like you got your bills paid. Praise Him, praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Grab your Bibles. I got 10 minutes. Grab your Bibles. Amen. Grab your Bibles. I got 10 minutes. I turn into a pumpkin if 1 o'clock comes. Amen. Some of y'all won't see that, don't you? Amen. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Amen. If you have your tablets, you'll find it quickly. If you have the old school Bible, it's right about the middle of your Bible. Psalms is right about the middle of the Bible for most of us. Open it up. Psalm, 5 different books there, and no chapters, a lot of verses, but books, 5 books in the book of Psalms. Amen. Psalm 116. Amen. Come down to verse 12. And catch it in the middle of a conversation. And I want to talk here. Right at verse 12, it says, "What can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me?" Amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. What can I offer the Lord? And King James says, "What can I render?" Amen. All he's done for you. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? Amen. Ushers, thank you. Mrs. McKenzie, the Richburg ladies. Sister Marion, thank you. God bless you. It's good to see all of you in the house of the Lord once again. I'm excited about that. And amen. 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 God, there will come a time when it would have been the last time. And we just didn't know. But because God has let us see each other again, that ought to mean something. Yeah. Amen. That, when you look at people, you ought to tell them, oh, you look good. It's so good to see you. Amen. Because there's going to come a day when you're going to have to only remember what you used to see. And so you ought to celebrate each other every time you see each other. Amen. When I was growing up, my aunt and I, my daddy's baby sister, and I've only got 3 of them left now, but we had a thing in the 80s when I was stationed in Savannah. I used to come home kind of every weekend. Every time I could get with Addison, I'd skip out from Savannah to Jacksonville, 162 miles, you know, and I'd run home. And we had a thing that we, you know, I don't know where we really got it from, but every time we see each other, we go, hey! And people used to look at us like we were crazy. But we didn't care. Every time we saw each other, we go, hey! We'd run up and hug each other and do a little wiggle, you know. And little by little, everybody else started trying to get in on our thing. Other cousins start going, hey, well, not you. Amen. And about that time, there was a little story used to come on TV with these dinosaurs, and the little baby dinosaur used to say, not the mama. Y'all remember that one? The little dinosaur, not the mama. And so we throw that in there. When somebody else tried to do the hey, we go, not the mama. But we loved each other, and we still carry that love today. So when you see people, rejoice, celebrate people. And what you're going to discover is when you celebrate people, they'll celebrate you. Amen. Amen. All right. So here's what I want to talk about. Look at your name. Say, neighbor. Keep pastor from turning to a pumpkin. We're going to have to help him. But this is what pastor wants to talk about. Tell him, say, neighbor. Pastor is going to preach. Too much is not enough. Amen. Too much is not enough. The writer is in an interesting place. If you actually read the entire psalm, it starts out with something very interesting because it's what he says first. It really captures my attention, but it's what he says in the following that won't let me go. He starts out by saying, I love the Lord because he hears and answers my prayers. How many know God will hear and answer your prayers? Amen. I wish all of y'all would have voted right there. I guess I ought to ask it again. How many of you know that God hears and answers your prayers? Amen. That's a little better right there. Amen. And then he goes on and he talks about quite a few things. But then he says this. He said, how kind the Lord is, how good he is, so merciful this God of ours. And I really want you to understand something. No matter what you do for God, no matter what you do as a people of God, there is never a time when you can ever say it's too much. I wish I had a help in church. Too much does not apply to God. God is so good. God is so awesome. And you're living here as testimonies that even in your life, too much was not enough. Here's how I know that. Because the Bible says daily, he loadeth us with benefits. I'm not going to take long. Every day God is doing more in your life. And every one of you in this room know that every day God has done a little bit more. Every day God has added something to your life. And here it is, here it is, here it is, Deacon Anderson. You and I both know he could have taken away. God has every right to have done more subtracting than adding in every life. Because we haven't always done right by the Lord, have we now? Amen. There's an old adage, Melvin, that goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's troubling when you consider God, when you consider the wealth of a people, the worth of a people. But you also have to consider the wandering of a people. God has always been right where God is. It's just that we keep moving. We force God to geographically keep up with us. Sometimes we're over here and sometimes we're over there and sometimes we're here and sometimes we're there. And God has never lost track of us. God always knows where to deliver our blessing. Amen. God will bless you in Mississippi, just like he'll bless you in Miami. Aren't you glad that God don't forward your blessings? They're right there with you. When you need God, he's right there. And they say the more things change, the more they stay the same. What is the point of that, Pastor? What are you trying to say? Well, I want to say to you that people have always been funny when it comes to the blessings of God. We've always seemed to come up with amnesia or excuses. We become derelict and disobedient, even to the point of defiance with God. When we start telling him, now you're asking for too much. I can't go there. I can't do that. I've got other things to do. And God has always been so loving and so kind. And just kind of looked at us and went, how could they forget? In fact, if you look at the Old Testament writing, this is what God says to the church. He said, listen, when your barns get full, your cows get fat and your fields are overrun and your grapes are falling off the vine, don't forget about me. Why would God say that? Because God knows us. Knows us. There's a mindset in many of us. Pray the name of y'all, but I've heard about this cotton from others. I've heard about folk who show act funny when they get a little money. I've heard about folk who, when their ship come in, they forget folk. When God blesses us, we forget to bless him back. But David reminds us. David says, how can I not give to God who gave to me and everything belongs to him? It's in the letter of the Chronicles. David said, I know where this stuff comes from. So how can I not give back to him when he gave it to me? And I want you to understand that God is looking at us. Brookville, looking at us. He's not looking at us to see somebody else. He's looking at us because he sees us. And we've got to stop robbing God. We've got to stop stealing from God and squirreling away a little something. History is a good barometer for looking at life. You pay the barometer close enough attention, you'll see trends and you'll see patterns. We're really a people of patterns. Those of you who sow, You don't want to know why every shirt looks like a shirt? There's a pattern. You know why every dress looks like a dress? There's a pattern. You know why shoes look like shoes? There's a pattern. Amen. We're people of patterns. We follow patterns. We in the church, what we call tradition is about patterns. That's why we do annual days. And, you know, if it worked one time, we say, well, let's do that every year. And we come into a pattern. And what we do is we become comfortable to the pattern. But we forget the pattern. Some of y'all caught that. For those of you who didn't, I'll tell you. When I say patent, I'm talking about who owns everything. Who's in charge? Who this stuff really belongs to? It's God's. The patent sets the pattern. He's the sole proprietor of everything. You brought nothing in. And some of us are going to see to it that you don't take anything out. But if you look at life, I'm just about there. I don't want to turn into a pumpkin. If you look at life, there are patterns. Some of us are not only in the pattern, but we're predictable. We're predictable, we're routine, we're static, and we're obvious. Mm-hmm. Predictable, routine, static, and obvious. Last week, I stood here in this sacred desk. This is a sacred desk. The place where the pastor stands and the book was open. And when the book is open, God is talking. And when God is talking, the messenger says what God says. And I put before this people the next level of giving. And because you're so predictable, some of you folded up your arms and you went to signifying with your neighbors. I saw you. Some of you, I read your lips from afar. There he go again. Some of you had already, before I could finish speaking, you'd already said no. You already said what you couldn't do, and you're so predictable. And I got the finance report on my desk and looked at what we'd given. I said, here we go. We're so routine, so static. I really believe that God sees and knows us, but we ought to try to surprise him or fool him every now and then. We ought to make God, when we come around and give, make God go, what? That can't be Brookville. Rewind that tape. Let me look at you. You're looking at me funny, but the fact of the matter, you're just so predictable. Can I talk about it for a second? I've got only a few minutes. Some of us are so predictable that I look for your predictability in your presence. I know just about who get their nails done, who gets their hair done. I know who's going on vacation. I see it, and you're so predictable. You're so routine. You show up about the same time. You want to leave about the same. Y'all ain't talking to me. But you want God to go over the top. You want God to blow your mind. You want God to fatten up your cows and grow your grass real tall and make everything wonderful. But you're so predictable. Soon as a little attitude come in, you change your attitude. Soon as something happens, you're so routine. Some of us will never go every Sunday. Come around a little while, take a break. Sing a little while, go silent a little while, and then try to make it so spiritual. I'm just going to take a sabbatical. Spell it. Pastor, I'm just going to step back. You ought to be stepping up. See how quiet everybody is. So routine, but it's so obvious. How does your life increase in the world but falls off in Christ? God has answered your prayers and given you those things you asked for, but you can't give him what he asked for. That's too much. You don't ever say that when you get to the pay window. When the last time any of y'all put your check back through the slots and all, that's too much. Don't give me that much. When the last time a blessing came from anywhere and you said, oh, no, that's too much. Nobody says that except when it comes to the things of God. If I had said to you last week that at the end of 65 days, I'm going to give each one of y'all $325, well, nobody would say, oh, no, Pastor, that's too much. But you said that about giving it to God. See how quiet everybody is? You looked at God and said, no, I can't do that. But you forgot that last Friday you went to the pay window. You forgot that you went in the store and you didn't have to do it on credit. You walked out with everything your heart desired. When you were sitting there with Mei Ling and she said, what color? You said, oh, give me that and give me that. When you were sitting in there and they were saying you won't add some or take some off, you said, oh, yeah. Some of y'all go to the beauty shop, the barber shop, the nail shop every week. You never argue with them people about how much. Come on, talk to me. But you come to God and it's too much. But too much is not enough. In light of all that God has done for us, ain't none of y'all no bad looking people. I look at y'all. Y'all good looking folk. Yeah, y'all got your little makeup real tight. Y'all done brought your little summer dresses out with your little patterns and all that. I'm looking at you. Ain't nobody coming in here with one bad shoe. Ain't nobody, heel and broke off. I just looked at one of our disciples and said, you getting tall. And immediately she did me like that. I can't spell stiletto, but I know. Ain't none of y'all hurting. But when it come to giving, you hurt God. Our giving program is not a good program. Too much. Now, Pastor, I can't tithe. What do you mean you can't tithe? God gave you the money to tithe. The gift to tithe. God, listen, God, I'm almost there. God never asks you for anything that he has not already given you. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father. How do you know? No, Pastor, you know what I'm saying? You brought nothing in the world. You didn't come here with no job. You didn't have no social security number. You couldn't have got through an interview when you were 3 years old. But look at what God has done in your life. If you got a car, driver's license, a house, a hoop there, a limo, it doesn't matter. God gave it to you. Notice how the clappers are getting smaller. The frowners are having a field day right now. Ooh, I knew it was coming. That's what the Lord said. The Lord said, if you had known it was coming, you should have done something about it. Should have said, he ain't talking to me. Many of us sitting in this room right now, it's probably about 9 of y'all say, he ain't talking to me because I know I'm a tither. I've already made up my mind how that sacrifice thing gonna go. He ain't talking to me. I ain't gonna let him talk to me like that. He got the wrong one now. In fact, I'm gonna meet him after service and say, hey, you weren't talking to me. I know in whom I have my faith. I know God can do anything. I've tried him before and I'm trying him right now. You ain't talking to me. However, it's some folk on my road, Pastor, that I'm going to tell on today. Oh, you ain't talking too much. That's not enough. God has been so good to me that there is nothing that I wouldn't do for him. Nothing I wouldn't give him, nowhere I wouldn't go, nothing I wouldn't say, no service I wouldn't render, no warfare I wouldn't engage. God is my everything. has asked me. Here am I, Lord, send me. And then human beings, I noticed this last part. Some of us like little laboratory mice. We just run in that little maze. Turn the same way every time. Chasing after a little lump of cheese. Get a little cheese and we just stop there. When we don't realize it's a big chunk that chunk there came off of. God don't make little chunks of cheese. God make big cheese. And some of y'all are like little mice. You're running through the maze, chasing after just a little nibble. When you could really have a whole wheel of cheese. But God can't trust you. Just running through predictable routes, routine routes. Obvious routes. And people just watch you run through the maze and say to themselves, don't he realize you keep doing the same thing, you don't get the same thing? You keep running in the same maze, you don't get the same thing. Get out of the maze. Start trusting God outside of the maze. You can't do what everybody else do and expect to get something different. Because here's what you need to understand. This is my little note here. You are not like everybody else. You don't need to ask nobody what they going to do. You just need to do what you know you ought to do. You don't have to be like everybody else. I wouldn't rob God just because somebody else robbed God. You remember this? Every parent is asked, every child is. If your friend jump off the bridge, are you going to jump too? And some of y'all will. That's not the answer. The answer is and always should be no. So the writer says, what should I do? What can I give God? What can I offer him? And that's a question you really need to be able to answer today. What are you going to do? I didn't ask you to ask nobody. I didn't put it up for a vote. I didn't say if y'all agree with it. Because some of y'all ain't going to never agree with nothing. No matter what it is, you know. If we say, is it too hot? You say, it's too cold. If we say, it's too cold, you say, it's too hot. You just ain't never going to agree with us. So we leave it to the individual. This is how God communicates with us. This is how God blesses us. Here's what he said. To he that hath an ear, let him hear. As an individual, he didn't say to the church. He said to he. That means every one of you must listen to God alone. Even in a crowded room, you still have to listen to him alone. If you're in a situation, let's see if we can summarize. Obedience is really what this is about. Okay? Let me show you why. Let's say you are hanging over a pit of alligators. And you got a chain with links in it, L-I-N-K-S, links in it. Do you really want to hang over a pit of alligators and guess how many links have to break before you fall into the alligators? I don't think so. No, you don't want to do that. And by the same token, if you're driving down the highway, And the police pull you over for speeding. Do you really think it makes a difference at that moment whether you paid your income tax? Or whether you ever stole anything from anybody? No. Now, I can see the smoke coming out of some of y'all head. You're trying to figure out, what are you saying? What I'm saying is, disobedience to any one form of the law is disobedience to the law. It doesn't matter which one. Once you break the law, you've broken the law. Now, Sandra, they really smoke in the ears. Wait a minute, Reverend, what are you saying? What I'm saying is simply this. Anything you do against the law of God makes you lawless. You can't say to God, well, at least I come to church every Sunday. Well, no, if you break any part of God's law, you are now lawless. So what's the answer, Pastor? Don't break none of the laws. And God says, give, give. God says, serve, serve. And he says, come, come. And see, some of us, again, predictable, routine, obvious people, very pattern-driven, we will not ever be lawless. What? Yeah, you will never keep all the law. You'll always break them. And so what you now have to decide is, what am I going to do with this? What should I give him? What can I? Listen, sometimes the more messed up you are, the more you ought to give. When you know you're a scoundrel, a renegade, a real ruffian, you ought to just pour into God and, Lord, I just want to, if you're just trying to bribe him. Say, man, I'm just trying to keep the Lord off me. That's why I go every Sunday. That's why I give. Because if he ever really take it to full measure, I'm done. See, everybody knows. I believe that you ought to make an individual decision about what you're going to give God. No matter what God asks of us, is it really ever too much? And whatever we give, is it ever enough? Okay, some of y'all with me? Some of you. Because the ethics of the church have been compromised. We study ethics and we look at ethics, and I thought I'd leave with an educated point here. And we get in the classroom, but not seriously do we practice ethics. Not especially in the church. Especially not even in the world. I mean, if you look at what's happening in our government right now, there's a whole lot of unethical stuff happening. And the Bible told you that was going to happen. He said there would be spiritual wickedness. High places. These folk are lying and cheating and colluding and all kinds of other things. And then we're looking at the leadership. And other countries are now laughing at us. I read an article from the Paris Accords, and they did a census, a survey among the people, and 87% of the people of France said our president is a fool. That has never happened in the history of our great nation. So if you call our leader a fool, what are you saying about a people? That's unethical. That's crazy. In the church, if we don't take this ethical approach to what we give to God, the commandments of God have been relegated to artifacts. In a museum somewhere. We act like God ain't telling us nothing. We act like we don't know how to act when it comes to God. Yes, we do. God gave us this law, this book. And he said, listen, do these things. And this is what Hosea says. And then I'll go. Hosea says, the people make God many promises. But they take falseness. I know that's a hard word for some of us to look at and say, well, no. They make them a lot of promises. Take false oaths. And then he said this. Make agreements. But they fail to keep these promises, these oaths. And let me say this to you. Has God ever lied to you? No, he hasn't. Some of y'all didn't answer that. Some of y'all sitting there. And some of y'all, thank you, Holy Ghost, are actually trying to sit here and think of a time that he might have. But every one of you should have answered that instantly and said no. Because he cannot lie. See, some of y'all sitting there thinking, well, when I asked him for this, he didn't give it to me. That doesn't make God a liar. Well, I was prophesied and said, no, that makes the prophet a liar. But let's look at it. What's too much? Everybody in this room is blessed. Okay. No. Everybody in this room is blessed. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, but everybody in here is blessed. Doesn't matter if you got laid off. Doesn't matter if the house burned down or the transmission fell out. It don't matter. You're blessed. You're breathing, ain't you? Amen. You're blessed. You can see us and hear us and feel us and you're in the room and all that kind of thing. But everybody in here is blessed. And here's what the Bible says. Praise God from whom... You're moving every moment into that uncertainty called the future. And God is already there. You know God got stuff waiting on you. Yeah. You can't sit here and complain about what you don't have. You ain't there yet. Therefore, laid up for me. Every day, God got something new for you. You don't live off recycled blessings. Every time you need something, God does it new. So when you make up your mind this time, that is too much. I'm telling you, it's not enough. I'm telling you that at the end of this giving period, some of y'all going to mess yourself up because you think that's too much. I can walk to your house right now. Any one of y'all, doesn't matter who you are, I can walk to your house right now and show you that you have exceeded the value of what I asked for in just 3 items in your house. How many of you have a refrigerator that's over $325? How many got a computer? See what I'm saying? You didn't have no problem bringing that home. You know, and if you got a refrigerator, it ain't empty. You had to buy a grocery over $325. If you got a car sitting out in that parking lot, I'm not even going to talk about the value of the car. If you pay insurance, you get them folk over $325. Ain't nothing you can insure for less than that. Even if you just got liability. And DMV will come after you if you don't. You got tires. You sitting in this room right now. I saw some of them shoes some of y'all got on. Suit and tie. You spoken it right pretty here today. And every one of you sitting in this room know that too much is not enough. What can I render? What should I give back to him for the way he's blessed me? Nudge your neighbor. In case your neighbor don't know it, tell him you blessed. You should have yelled at him. You should have screamed at him. You should have told him, I wish I had it like you got it. Because you're blessed. And everybody in the room needs to understand 3 little simple things. He gave, you got, you give. Just that simple. God is not asking you to rob a bank. God ain't asking you to forfeit your children's college fund. God ain't saying you can't go on vacation. God is not saying don't pay your light bill. God is saying put me first. Y'all slow, but you're coming. He gave. You got. Now give. That's too much. I got other things to do. Your priorities are messed up. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your title is. If you put anything before God, your priorities are messed up. This is my last little point. It's right here. The New Testament does not tell us how much to give. It doesn't. I know some of you say, well, you know, the tithe, 10%. It does not tell us. What it does say, this is what the New Testament really does say, that we are to give in proportion to our state of blessedness. And let me tell you, this is my last little somber note. And I put it right here. And y'all know the Lord been good. And some of us sitting in this room, it's right here. Some of us sitting in this room right now know that if we only gave a tithe, we would be robbing God. The New Testament says that we are to give in proportion to our state of blessedness. And y'all know God being good. Here's the last lesson. I have said it at least four times. When you look at Deuteronomy, go to Deuteronomy 12. If you want to get a chance, don't do it now because I'm getting ready to leave. Deuteronomy 12, you will discover that one of the things that Moses said to the people from the command of God is that they are to give 10%, the tithe. But now watch what he did. He said it is to come off of their produce, their grains, their fruits. See, it wasn't so much about the shekel or the nickel and dime so much as that. But he said, this is the principle. This is the pattern. And for the rest of humanity, people are to do this. But notice how God describes it. I'm done. He calls it an act of worship. That's what y'all miss. You want to worship God based on material things or happenings. No. You worship God just because he's God. And because he is the giver of every good and perfect thing, that's part of your worship. You can't be a good worshiper if you're talking about that's too much. God said, and then when you bless me, watch what I'll do. Here's what they understood. Once they got the principle right, they got the party. Because the Bible says when they did that, every year families would report to present their tithe, there was a big feast of Thanksgiving. If you didn't report right, you didn't get to go to the party. God knows how to celebrate you when you celebrate him. God been good to us. Look at us. And so it is. What's too much? What can I render? And every one of us need to think about that. Every one of us need to take Psalm 116 and verse 12, staple it on our hands or put it in on our refrigerator or do whatever you need to do and keep asking yourself that every day. Here it is, just the exit strategy. If we were to lock those doors and go through every purse, every pocket, every little stash, there are thousands of dollars sitting in this room right now. Now listen, now see, some of y'all, let me walk so you know I'm leaving. Some of y'all didn't hear what I said. I didn't say each one of y'all had $1,000. I said it's in this room. If we went and started with Brother McKenzie, or we'd start with the pastor and went in every pocket, You ain't got to pull your debit card out. You can do Giblify if you want to. But we can start counting. And before we got to, we finished up with the little Richburg babies, we go this way, that way, this way, that way. We'd have more than I bet you can go back there and count right now. I bet you that. If we just started with what each one of us got. Because nobody in this room gave everything they had today. But God did. God gave you his best. And didn't cheat you. See, some of y'all looking now thinking, he's trying to set us up to make us come give some more. If your heart ain't moving, I ain't trying to move it. But I'm telling you now, we walk out of here with more than enough. Some of us going to eat dinner. Some of us going to the grocery store. Some of us going straight home. But there's nothing that you have touched that wasn't touched by him. Nothing. So how can it be too much? You live an abundant life. Know how I know? Because he said so. He said, I came that they may have life and that more abundant. That's a promise of God. And I told the academy this morning, every promise is attached to a fulfillment. God ain't cheated none of y'all. But you're going to walk out of here today. Some of y'all got an attitude already. I don't care what he say. That's true. But you're not listening to what I say. I'm just saying what he said. I ain't got no sermon of my own. I'm a messenger. See, that's too much. Every year they want more. Every year you get more. God ain't cut none of y'all off. These young people live off their parents, and their parents live off their father. That's how it works. God been good to us. Some of you that don't even have what you had previously are still doing all right. You know why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. So here's what we're going to do. We're going. On every head to be bowed. And you don't even have to close your eyes right now. I just want you to bow your head. I want you to look at yourself with your eyes open. You see yourself in that imaginative mirror. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are looking at ourselves through lenses that are pure. And we may not like what we see. Some of us may like what we see. But Lord, you examine us. Search us. Try us. And Lord, if we have not surrendered all, submitted all, released all, then there's something wrong with us. We should not hold back any good thing because you held back none from us. We have entered into a period of sacrifice. Pastor has called for it. And it is not ours to debate him, to disagree with him, to discuss it with him. It is ours to now do. When Moses stood before that people, the people all said, amen. When David called for the sacrifice to build the temple of God, the people overwhelmed their giving and said, amen. Jesus told the disciples to render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. They said, amen. When tax time came, Lord, disciples had given up their gainful employment as fishermen, as physicians and tax collectors, and they came to the point of delivery. And Jesus said something ironic to them when they said, we've got to pay our taxes. He said, let's go fishing. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. And Lord, I need this people to know today. And Lord, we're praying as a people today to know that sometimes you say odd things. They're talking about taxes. You're talking about going fishing. They didn't get it. But Lord, teach us in this moment now that whatever you say, there's something to what you're saying. And so when they went fishing, they opened the mouths of the fish, and there it was. Lord, in this prayer, I think I've learned something. That you still move in mysterious ways. And some of us need to go fishing. Find the blessings of God in the unusual thing. Some of us have not even considered our resources. We made up our mind too soon to say no, to rebel and to refuse. But I'm looking at myself, and I want to see myself like you see me. You have denied me no good thing. So, Lord, I'm going to change my attitude. I'm coming out of that maze. I'm no longer going to be predictable. I'm no longer going to be routine or static. In fact, Lord, I believe today I want to start surprising myself and not be the obvious. When all of the brothers and sisters on that great day of surrender, marching around the walls, Lord, I want to be in that number. We're coming up and we're presenting our final tributes at the end of the sacrifice. Lord, I want to be in that number. And so, Lord, tell me to go fishing. Tell me to look under a rock. Tell me to go down to the potter's house. Tell me to go see the man of God. It may sound strange to me, but you move like that. Remind me that I've been squirreling away a little something. Remind me that you're faithful. Now see, Lord, I know that there are those in this room who've already given up on this prayer. Because it didn't promise them no hocus or pocus. It didn't promise them that the earth was going to shake and shimmy and that they're just going to be found, but it's about faith. And I'll do whatever you say. I'm going to trust you. Because you trust me. You called me a steward, which means you've given me things. And now I must be willing to give back to you. I want to be found faithful. And not only in this, but in all things, kingdom related for the rest of my life. You've been good to me. I am a living testimony. And so be it for my wife, my husband, my children. My family, even the stranger will know that there will never be another day in my life when too much is too much. It'll always be that it's not enough. No matter what I give to you for the rest of my life, I will always be in debt to you. You're a God of everything. And Lord, I just want to be found faithful. And so I'm going to look at myself and I'm going to be honest with the results. The verdict is clear. I have been guilty. But I desire no longer to live in guilt. I want to be found faithful. Bless me indeed. I'm standing on my own today. I'm not holding nobody's hand. I'm not trying to be nobody else's stand in the gap or by proxy. I'm just looking at me. And I want me to be faithful. I cannot speak for my husband or my wife, my children. Pray God that they've joined me in this prayer, but I will come up giving an account for me. I want to be in the number. I want to be the tither that you called me to be. I want to present my gifts as you've gifted me. No sacrifice is too great. Is there anything too hard for God? No. And nothing is impossible to them that believe. Forgive me for my former lifestyle choices. Forgive me, Lord, for shutting down when I should have stood up. For complaining when I should have celebrated. For losing my faith when I should have increased it. Give me this day. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, there are some sick among us. There are those who have decisions to make about surgery, and those who've come out of surgeries, and those who are in quiet struggles. It is our prayer as a people that thy will be done in the lives of these your children. Some don't want to talk about it. Some have already spoken. But Lord, you're in the sick room, the courtroom, the labor room, the interview room. You're in all of those rooms, and because you're there, you're going to make the difference. Where we're not educated enough, you'll make the difference. Where we cannot speak eloquently enough, you will make the difference. Where we don't know the answers, you will be the answer. And so, God, we are now lifting up our hands, lifting up our hearts, and saying, thy will be done. Heal those who are sick among us. Restore those who have been broken. Those who are worn by life's issues. And we celebrate with those who are celebrating. New jobs, career opportunities. Children have returned. Marriage is getting better. The outlook is better. So we join with them and say, hooray. How wonderful is our God. Rejoice with them that rejoice. And then, Lord, we mourn with those who mourn. Some are going through the hours of bereavement, and these are slow hours. And it's going to take time, because time is what it's going to take. But there'll come a day, Lord, when it'll get better. Little by little. Hours, days, months, even years. But we will not forget our brothers and sisters who are broken, hurting. We'll walk as slow as they want to walk. We'll be what they need us to be, and then step back when it's time and draw in when it's time. But they won't have to be alone. And we're going to love better. We learned that lesson today, that love ought to be our highest goal, to pursue it, that our family will be made better. So God help us. We are incapable of doing these many things alone. You are our strength. You are our sustenance. You are our supply. We ask because we have need, and you supply all of them according to your riches and glory. And then forgive us of our sins. Lord, have mercy. We're trying to do better. Just as we said on last week, we admit that we're in a struggle. But you won't refuse us. You won't reject us. But you'll receive us because we belong to you. Now, Lord, I've looked at myself long enough. I'm going to lift up my head and look at you. Because I will look to the hills from which cometh my help, knowing that my help cometh from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. You do everything so well. But let me be found in you. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. No more crying. You can smile now. It's over. Shake somebody's hand. Hug them by the neck and say, you're going to be all right.